Okay. Want to talk to you now about group processing. There is in Scientology a technique known as group processing. We have had relatively little group processing here in this particular unit compared to the amount of group processing which exists. However, group processing is a very, very interesting activity and is probably in itself the only terrifically low-cost therapy which can solve criminality on a broad basis and neurosis on a broad basis throughout the length and breadth of this year land. On a much higher level, group processing could be looked to furnish in the school and so forth, a higher level of IQ for the disposal of the teacher, who could then lower it, of course, by giving lots of data out. And would therefore be an essential part of an educational system. Where group processing goes and what it does is terrifically embracing. Penal institutions, schools, industrial organizations, so forth, all of these could increase their effectiveness and capabilities. Here, for instance, we have had in this country for a great number of years a fellow known as Scott. You know this man? Technocracy. This fellow has a very interesting idea. That idea, however, depends upon the execution of orders and a high level of integrity and devotion on the part of subordinates and the groups which are so organized. This idea has been relegated to many categories by many other organizations. We're not interested in that. Let's just look at his problem and discover that it could be solved by group processing, and I do mean solved by group processing, as contained in the Group Auditor's Handbook from the HASI. This contains, I think it's 12 hours of group processes, and these 12 hours are missing only one process, which isn't in there because it's really too easy to give and would simply be a page full of the same words, and that would be group processing by duplication. But you have an example of that at the Congress, and there exists a tape on that which I made at the Congress. Group processing, procedure by duplication. Now, what would happen if we took this whole organization and we brought in, let's supposing you're operating someplace and you ran into this fellow Scott. You gave him the word on this. You told him what this could do. And you had him bring in a half a dozen of his very best boys from major areas. And you took those fellows under instruction as how to group audit. And having taken these fellows under instruction, you would then demonstrate on them, by running the techniques on them, that something happened by reason of these processes contained in Group Auditor's Handbook, Issue 1 of the HASI, and by opening procedure by duplication. You would run that in addition to that. And then you would train them up, and you would put a copy of this book in their little sweaty hands and send them back to take care of their immediate units and process up each one of these units so many nights a week over such a period of time. What do you think would happen to the organization called Technocracy? It would be very, very, very good indeed. In the first place, the integrity of the organization itself would rise, and in the second place, Orders could be duplicated instead of being perverted, which is his main trouble, by the way, with his organization. His orders do not duplicate it. He always has to have a strong-arm squad around someplace to rush into an area where orders from headquarters were not duplicated. And you would get a duplication of orders. You would get an ability to follow instructions intelligently, which every organization dreams of and never accomplishes. Well, you could do this by running Group Auditor's Handbook, Issue 1, HASI, plus opening procedure by duplication. All right. A state is unable to afford the amount of money necessary to the individual processing of prisoners. And yet every state would tell you that it would be very, very fine if the state itself would declare all criminality to be insanity, instead of putting insanity outside the law. Canada is having a royal commission meet to decide whether or not to throw this out or keep it in, whether or not insanity should ever be used as a defense. The answer to it, of course, is that all criminality is insanity. As soon as the law takes this view, a view, by the way, which has already been taken in Russia and Mexico and is written into their constitutions, I am informed, you pose the state with this problem. One who commits intentional harm to the society is incarcerated until such time as it is safe to release him into the society. You have immediately given a vast public a great deal of relief from crime that you do this, but you have also burdened the state with a tremendous number of prisoners. How are we ever going to release these people? Well, it would take somebody actually who was an expert in this line acting with the parole boards, a good Scientologist operating with a parole board, to tell what prisoner to release and what prisoner not to release. You'd have to give psychometric testing of our design in order to establish this. And you would establish it, but you would make it necessary and make it possible and necessary before anybody could come before the parole board to see that he had many, many, many hours of good, solid group processing. Now, in view of the fact that it could be given by tape, in view of the fact that your individuals could be selected out on group response tests, you know, just that certainty assessment which you saw at the Congress is good enough to select out who is at least a candidate to come up before the parole board, gives you a minimum of handling of all of these people and would release what percentage. Well, we can only guess at this time what percentage it would release, but it would certainly release a very, very worthwhile percentage of these people. To review by the parole board, to entrance into the society again, it at least gives some guarantee to the society again, even if it were done poorly, that these crimes would not be committed again. Now, what happens today? Your prisoner is incarcerated on an arbitrary term of years. And when he is released, he is simply released because the parole board felt sympathetic that day, or something on this order, and he goes back and he commits the same crime again almost always. The police are uniformly engaged in returning to prison recently paroled prisoners, or recently finished term prisoners, and it becomes a little circle that goes on and on and on at what large cost. But you would not be able to sell any taxpayers the idea that a prison should be given any money for that stuff called psychology or something, you know. You couldn't convince anybody unless you could demonstrate to them it only cost 2 cents a prisoner. They'd say, well, that's nothing. That's nothing. You could go ahead and do it then, if it could cost that low. And it can cost that low with group processing. What do we do in the schools? Well, there are more classes of backwards children which have ceased to be populated today because of the use of old self-analysis than we can properly keep track of. Yet self-analysis isn't a fine group processing answer by a long ways. It's a very good one, but it's not a real honest-to-goodness one. 8C, rephrased one way or the other for children, is much more effective. Yes, indeed. Much more effective than mock-ups, because they hit a certain peak, hit their not knowing this level with regard to mock-ups, and hang there. And they don't get up above that line. All right. You could sell a school board or something on the idea of group processing if it didn't cost anything. Actually, low-cost psychotherapy is here. It's been dreamed of for years by people who were interested in the humanities. It's been dreamed of for years by wardens, superintendents, all kinds of people everywhere that have really been interested in people. And it is here. Compare this to 2 years psychoanalysis at a cost of $9,000+. Think of that. And that's what they mean when they say giving psychotherapy to prisoners. They mean 2 years of arduous work on the part of a highly skilled practitioner at a cost of $9,000. Well, nobody knows whether psychoanalysis works or not, for the excellent reason that very few people can afford to find out whether or not it works if it takes 2 years. They generally go 1 year just to discover whether or not they can be psychoanalyzed. The psychoanalysts tell you this, by the way. Then they get, at least get a year's fee out of you. All right, what is the role of group processing in this society today? It will eliminate from the United States Army, from the United States Army Air Forces, from the U.S. Navy, the equipment cracker-uppers, the guys who would turn around and run. It would eliminate the fellows who, when they hit the silk with a parachute, would forget to pull the ripcord. It would eliminate from industry the fellow who's going to push the button, which is going to drop that hot kettle of steel on the heads of his fellow workers. It would eliminate from the transportation corps of a big laundry the drivers who are wrecking their trucks. It would eliminate from their mechanical department and repair department the people who are going to put trucks into such a state that they would be wrecked. Where doesn't it go? Where doesn't group processing go? It's a tremendous field. Group processing today has climbed up and has become more and more and more and more effective, and you see group processing at its peak in this Group Auditor's Handbook, Issue 1, for this period and time of the development of Scientology. But it is peak stuff. I mean, cases do change with those processes, particularly when this opening procedure, an object in the right hand, an object in the left hand, have the fellow look at the first one, you know, the first object in the right hand, and get its color, its weight, its temperature, and then look at the object in the left hand and get its color, its weight, and its temperature. One after the other, back and forth for a couple of hours, always with the same auditing question, always the same series of questions, and no variation except this. Every 15 minutes, give the right hand twice. See? Your right hand, give it twice. And then you get into the machine, and you just cut the machines to pieces. Most of your audience, the first time you do this, will recognize they're on a machine, and they thereafter will not go back on a machine. See that? I got the right hand. Bang, and then, all right, look at the object in your right hand. Get its color, its weight, its temperature, or color, temperature, and weight, doesn't matter much. Now, you've been going, look at the object in your left hand, get its color, temperature, weight. See? Only this time, every 15 minutes, you say, right hand, color, temperature, weight, see? The object in your right hand, color, temperature, weight. Oh, boy. You'll see three-quarters of your audience either start to or go halfway through this left hand over here before they catch themselves. They put it on automatic. This will break them from using a machine and so on. You do that every 15 minutes. You just repeat the hand. And it's just the same command, and that is what you do with a group. And with that added to the group auditor's handbook, you can much more thoroughly change the state of case of the people in the group as a whole than individual auditing could have done a year ago. So let's not look lightly at the effectiveness of group processing. It isn't just a secondary thing that we kind of throw in because we can't do it. It has its own usefulness, and it has its own effectiveness. It's an odd thing that it produces a somewhat different effect. All right, supposing you went out and you got some industrial firm, you got Scott, or you got some police force or somebody or other interested in group processing. Well, you're not going to stand there and give all the group processing there is, because let's say you got this and you did do all the group processing for a while, but then other units started to get interested. Well, you would have these people furnish you people to train in order to group process, or you would take a set of group processing tapes, one thing or the other. But preferably, you would train somebody to group process. That's preferable. You see that? There's nothing like a live human being standing there. That's preferable. So therefore, you'd have to know what to train them. And so I'm going to give you a very fast rundown on this. Now, you say you couldn't possibly give us a rundown on how to train all these people in the next 10 minutes. Yes, I can, because you're trained in Scientology. Now, I'll just tell you what to look for, and that'll be that. Your group auditor must stand in front of his group, or sit, preferably stand, in front of the unit, and give his commands in a distinct voice, which at the same time will not cut into the reverie and upset and muddledness of some of the pre-clears present. In other words, he's got to give his command in a voice more or less of this level. All right, get three places where you are not. Now, three people who are not present. That's not proper spacing, but that's the proper way to give that command, see? Slide into it. The wrong way to give the command. Give me three people. See that? Wrong way to give the command. Now, what is the spacing? I hate to tell you this, but I space by feel, and I don't expect you ever to have to teach anybody how to space by feel. I know when the majority of the audience have completed the command. I just know that. That's too nebulous to teach anybody. So let's give it a reasonable time for the command to be completed, and let's even it out in giving these commands in such a way that an individual has at least time to get one, so that a slow case can get one and a fast case can get several. So you very often hear me in group processing say, now get several places where you are not, which is the proper command phrasing. The other is just proper command tone. Now, proper command phrasing. Now, several people who you are not. Get just one now, and then some more. Just one you're sure of, and then some more. Okay. Give me some more people who you are not. Now, some places where you are not. Get just one, and then some more, if you can. We get that one now. See that? So, if we gave specific numbers to get, such as three, as I said earlier, that's an individual auditing command. Because the individual's going to respond, but the group can't. Now, the boys who are very fast will get a great many, and the boys who are very slow will get only a few. So we no longer, if we know that trick and the operation behind it, we no longer have to break a group into the fasts and slows. We don't have to break up a group to group process them. Now, that's quite an advance, isn't it? Then we can just take any group and go ahead with it. Now, your next thing that you have to know is that in groups of people, you will inevitably get people, particularly those whose cases are being hit for the first time or the first few hours, we will get people who are going to slop over. Now, I notice you all kind of look like I'm group processing you. Well, that's because I group process you so often. So that's end of session. Now, we're going to get, in proportion to the size of the group, a number of people, or one person, who is going to show some affect, who is going to be upset one way or the other about it. And you may get individuals who break wildly into screaming. That's very, very rare. Who break wildly into grief, which is much more common, or who begin to laugh hysterically, disturbing the people around them, which is even more common yet, and people who boil off, dope off, or drop off and are not following the group commands. And all these people that I've just listed are cared for by the group emergency auditor. It takes two auditors to process a group. Somebody, even if he's relatively unskilled, can still act as an emergency auditor. But you always should have an emergency auditor on deck. Now, in the recent Congress, you did not see very much upset on the floor, did you? There was a lot of upset, perhaps, that people talked about from the standpoint of, boy, those emergency auditors there, those seminar leaders, they sure were walking around making sure you knew they were there and so on. They talked about this somewhat because they were aware that they were there. But you know what? There wasn't really any marked disturbance through the entire Congress. Do you know how many people were emergency audited during that Congress? A very interesting number. There were several who really went to pieces, but royally, and were cared for by those emergency auditors so smoothly and so quietly, really, that there wasn't any upset. Nobody was disturbed in the session. Now, that's the way it ought to go. That's the way it ought to go. Your emergency auditor is not there to take the fellow out and clear him. He's there to take the fellow out, quiet him down, and return him to the auditing session. Or, if it's very close to the auditing session, fix him up into some kind of way so he can complete the session. It should be very, very plain, and this one you can force in on your group auditors as you train them, because they'll take a lot more training than just a few words here. I'm just hitting these very important points. The emergency auditor, at no time ever, should give anything that could seem to be a special session to the preclear. Why? Not because he can't, but because if he starts to do it, and your group is going to go on consistently as that group over a very length of time, you're going to have, in the general run of public, a lot of people who beg for this individual attention by breaking down, and therefore you're going to overload your group auditor. They're going to turn on a problem for that emergency auditor. You see that? Because they mean that's going to get some individual processing, and they think that's just fine. Now, that is really not as acute with adults as it is with children. It becomes fabulous with children. It gets up to the proportion of 50% of the units you're processing. They all want special processing. They want special attention because children are really attention hungry. And they want so much special attention that nobody has a chance to get any processing done. If you, processing children, were fool enough to let one of the kids come to the front of the room and you gave him a special mock-up or a special command to do himself with the other children there, you're just done, because three-quarters of that room, maybe not that many, but certainly half of that room, on the next few commands, are not going to be able to get any of them done. You gave attention to inability. You validated inability. And having validated inability, you get hung with it. So your emergency auditor never gives a session. I'm just making the point there. What he does is patch them up and throw them back in the group. See that? Now, what's he do then? What technique does your emergency auditor use when he does this? Oh, he could use a dozen techniques. If he's a good Scientologist, you just let him roll. But if he's somebody who is simply helping out the group auditor and is not as well off as the group auditor, you therefore have to give him a rote process. He does this every time somebody breaks down or gets upset. Therefore, it would be like this. Feel the floor beneath your feet. Find a spot on the wall. Go over and touch it. Find another spot on another wall. Go over and touch that. He just takes them out into the anteroom, see. Find the floor beneath your feet. Find some spots on the wall. Total process. That's all he'd do with them. When they've broken down, they're no longer going out of their mind or something of the sort, and they kind of woke up and gotten in present time and so forth, shoves them right back into the group. Now, that's what you do. That's what you train your emergency auditor to do. You train him to run contact processing, step 7 of SOP 8. Now, you could train him to run it well, or you could train him to run it poorly. It all depends on how much time you'd have to train your emergency auditor, you see. But you train your group auditor in tones, assurance, command value, and make it possible for him to tolerate that much space out in front of him. Boy, is that important. I gave you a demonstration in the December Congress, which, by the way, is amazing on the tapes. It wasn't as amazing to the people in the room at the time, but it was amazing when this was played at a later Congress. And I put 2 anchor points out at the back of the room and talked in the back of the room. See? And people noticed that, and then I talked with the same tone of voice with the anchor points, at first up close, then further away, and then finally with 2 back corners of the room. What happened is very, very strange. I was heard very plainly through the theater, on all 3 lines, but I was heard somewhat more loudly, particularly with people in the back, although I didn't vary the tone of my voice, after I had put 2 anchor points at the back of the room, you see? I was still on the stage, so I was about 5-6 feet up above my body on the stage. I didn't leave the stage to talk that. What do you know? When the tapes were prepared and played, this astonishing thing had occurred. When I had the anchor points all the way out, my voice is practically off of the tape. I was speaking with the same voice tone. Everybody in the room live heard it one way. The tapes heard it quite another way. They heard it when I had the 2 anchor points out at the back of the room. The command is practically inaudible on the tape. All right. You've got to have a group auditor who can, 1, tolerate space out in front of him, and 2, tolerate people. So you have to audit him in that direction. You just have to get down and group audit your group auditors or individually audit them to a point where they can tolerate that much space without coming to pieces. If you take somebody who can't tolerate space and tell him to put 2 anchor points out there or talk to the back of that room, oh, brother, he'll just pull the whole front of his mock-up apart, that's all. And after an auditing session, he will be a rag. Furthermore, his voice won't reach to the first row. Nobody will know what he's doing. He'll be trying to smother his auditing commands. He'll try to rush people and everything else. He will do a bad job of auditing if he cannot tolerate the people or that space. And he'll do a good job of auditing if he can. And that's all there is to knowing about running a group session. That's what I've told you right now. And you'd just train the people in those fundamentals, and you'd have it. If you couldn't trust a fellow to run a good group session, then you would simply train him to be an emergency auditor to a set of tapes. If you felt that you were just failing all over the boards in training your group auditors, you would simply train them to run a set of tapes which contained that information, and you'd have them show them how to emergency audit and police the room while the tapes were running. So you could even hit it at a simpler level. There isn't a heck of a lot to know about group auditing if you're a Scientologist. It's a vast, vast mystery, however, if you don't. So you'd have to give a group auditor a pretty good rundown on the very basics and fundamentals of Scientology. Otherwise, he'd think he was looking at complete mysticism, and he himself would not be able to duplicate the commands in order to group audit. Okay.